Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drama on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
It's cold out here, and the temperature wasn't much warmer in the Situation Room. Our meeting did not last long.
Tough stuff at the White House today between President Trump and the Democrats over the government shutdown of the border wall. The impasse making things tougher for some 800,000 federal government workers who won't get paid on Friday. That's just one of the stories we're following tonight at the Reporters Roundtable. Also on deck, D.C.'s homicide rate, R. Kelly, Centoya Brown, and another black man found dead in the home of billionaire Democratic activist Ed Buck. My guests are Yannick Lamb, chair of media journalism and film here at Howard University, and Deborah Simmons of the Washington Times. Lines are open. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Yannick, Deborah, good to see you.
Good to see you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much. Let's talk about the president's speech. Was that just a repeat of what we saw this afternoon, things going nowhere, Yannick?
Yeah, it was a repeat of that. And it was very unpresidential and full of alternative facts. But in some strange way, it was probably one of his better speeches.
Why do you say that?
He doesn't come across as presidential, but I guess he had a moment where he was, you know, giving his own spin on different things.
What do you think that moment was?
I don't think what he was saying was that significant, and we've heard it all before, but I was just saying, because a lot of times he's rambling, that for him, he came across okay for him,
mm-hmm.
but he's not in terms of looking at presidents, period.
Interesting. He did mention African Americans and Hispanics yesterday in his speech. Why, Deborah, does it seem that we hear the brown and black people's comments from the president when it seems that he needs brown and black people, but generally speaking, he's not saying things that are positive about brown and black folks?
Well, he's doing the opposite of what Barack Obama did when Barack Obama in 2005 essentially said the same thing Donald Trump has been saying since he began running for president. And that's that we can't have undocumented, unchecked, and folks crossing the border. Now, those were Barack Obama's own words before he even ran for president, 3 years before he even ran for president. Donald Trump is saying nothing different, and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in 2016 both said, we need to tighten border security. Trump came up with the wall.
But the thing I'm asking about is that last night he spoke about this immigration issue being a negative impact on the economics for black and brown people.
Well, yeah, of course, because there are so many social services, medical services, even health care services, which we saw in the death of those two kids from Guatemala, that the United States is paying for to take care of them, even if you only include the doggone autopsy and coroner's report for their deaths. The thing is that we should not look at color. But every time, for the most part, black folks look at Trump, they see the blonde-haired white guy. Just as like D.C. sees the blonde-haired Jack Evans white guy every time he ran for mayor. That's just the fact of life we have to deal with. What we need to do is build a tighter wall. Build a wall and build tighter security so that we don't have people running over us. Think of all the folks, particularly the black folks, who are about to be released from prison, have been released from prison, and cannot get jobs. But you go past, I can't go to my neighborhood Home Depot because there are mostly, overwhelmingly majority, Spanish-speaking guys who were trying to get me to hire them to come to my home to do work.
So, okay, so
that's the picture. That's the reality we're dealing with.
Well, no, that's the reality that we're dealing with in Washington, D.C. But we also need to understand that Washington, D.C. is that's some inside the Beltway stuff. And let us be clear.
Trying to be polarizing.
It happens in Florida when I was living there.
But like I said before, so you're suggesting that we should build this wall, and that as what did the president say today? It is a medieval solution that will work in modern times.
So you're tell you something. When I went to Israel in the early 2000s, one of the things I asked our driver, please take me by the fence. I want to see the fence. And he said, the fence is right there. You see how long it is? Do you know what the fence was? A wall.
Okay, but here's my question, though. Because here's my question. Mexico was supposed to pay for this. He's asking for five.
No.
Mexico was not supposed to pay for this. He said Mexico was going to pay for it. Those are two entirely different things. I get it.
Okay.
He said that Mexico was going to pay for it. And I guess my point is that $5.7 billion will not pay for a wall. It will not pay for steel. It will be a white picket fence. I'm exaggerating.
I hear.
Because the original estimate was between $20 and $30 billion.
So my question to anybody, everybody, is what type of border security should we have?
I don't know if we need a wall. I mean, one of the things you look at,
we have a wall
on Canada. We don't have one over there.
I think there's nothing wrong with border security. I think a wall is a waste. He said Mexico was going to pay for it. I don't think American taxpayers want to spend $25 billion on it if they're going to spend any money at all. Yeah, they should spend more money on border guards, like the Democrats have suggested, more technology, but a wall.
We're doing that.
Yeah. But we're not doing it enough.
That.
We're not, and I don't want to get too much farther down into the weeds about the wall thing, because the point that I was trying to make was about the speech itself. One of the things in that 9-minute speech that we did not hear was a comment about the federal workers, these people who aren't going to get paid on Friday.
I'll tell you this. Yesterday gave us the clear indication that Donald Trump was trying to temper and tone his comments and rhetoric to the broader American public and whoever's watching on CNN International and all that.
But is that going to work?
Today,
because we know that's not how he is, though.
Wait a minute. Today, we saw the other Donald Trump when he walked up out of the meeting with the Democrats. Now, the problem is still, nobody's talking about what we're going to do about tightening security. And the Democrats were saying that before Barack Obama even became a senator.
What, say that again?
The details of how we're going to tighten security at the border.
But should 800,000 federal government workers be held hostage while this crisis is being created? They're playing politics with people's lives.
And people might save for a rainy day, but they can't save for a tsunami if they're going to be off for a month or months or years or anything crazy like that. And
many Americans, I don't want to say most, but many Americans live paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
Barely.
And some hope the husband or the daddy gets paid one week and mama or the mother gets paid the next week so that they'll be able to make ends meet.
Every time they say there's a recovery, there's a lot of people that never touches.
Well, that's the thing. Pocketbook
issues. Even since the last recession, people are still recovering from that.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call and we will take your comment. So, where do we go from here as far as this government shutdown? 2 more days until the Eagle does not fly on Friday. And we have I'm sure you've had some friends that you've spoken to, friends that you've
and
spoken
family.
To.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and
family.
And to put them back to work.
Absolutely. That are extremely worried. And as a matter of fact, DC Water, as mm-hmm. I just reported, they're going to be trying to make some adjustments for people who are going to have problems paying water bills. Prince George's County Government is making an announcement tomorrow in conjunction with Prince George's Community College and the United Way in trying to help with this government shutdown. But the reality is people need their paychecks.
People need their paycheck, and also it affects security at a time. He's talking about security.
Yes.
At the airports with Homeland Security and a lot of other places.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I believe it's Ia calling from Upper Marlboro. Ia, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Greetings.
Hi, how are you? Go ahead.
Yes, as the sister was saying, there's no place else in the world where people could cross into another country and then be given full services and access without having a foundation for knowing who they are. And we need to recognize that. We have no idea when people are coming what their intention is, and there's lots for us to talk about in the future, you and I. But you have no idea where they are coming from before coming there. And when we talk about just having security officers, that is, in fact, how the trucks cross the border with people lying in the bottoms, sneaking people in, allowing drugs to be transported because these people are being compromised.
So what do we do about the tunnels that have already been dug under the ground that we have seen when we've seen people usurping security measures? Are we going to plant that wall into the ground to keep from tunneling? I mean, obviously, I don't have an answer. But this isn't just about a 30-foot wall, concrete or steel. This is a broader issue.
Here's the thing. They're traveling on foot, and they're being encouraged to be traveled here.
Encouraged by whom?
I don't know, but somebody paying for them trucks and buses.
Yeah,
and they're not doing it. And we've heard for decades about coyotes.
Yes.
And I know that can be the derogatory, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but that's the term that was used, that families from other nations are coming here. They come here. They're scraping nickels and dimes. They're using Western Union and other financial institutions to send money back home and to help pay the quote-unquote coyotes. Somebody should be, I would rather, excuse me, a Bob Mueller or special investigator, prosecutor, look into those sorts of things. And we need to look at the tunnels. We know where the tunnels are because we caught El Chapo.
Yes,
that's we caught El Chapo. So if all this time we've had him in custody, he couldn't at least tell us where half dozen tunnels were.
Yeah.
And we should do that and investigate and block them.
We've got a lot to talk about tonight. Ia, thank you so much for your phone call. If you're on the line, please hang on because I am going to get to your comment, but there's another topic I need to get to right before we take our break. So we will get to your comment, whatever it happens to be. But we've got to talk about the DC homicide rate. And this year, already, the first 7 days, 7 murders. We are approximately
at eight
already. At that rate, are we looking at Dodge City again from the 1980s? What's going on?
Possibly, and also there's been talk of possibly suppression of the crimes because of how they're being reclassified. Some people are denying that. But the way they're reclassifying them, that some violent crimes or some thefts or things like that, so that they're not counted in the federal crime rate, so that it's kind of lower, keeps it a little bit lower than what it actually might be.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope this can get under control because the thing is that so many innocent people get caught up in, you know, some of the violence.
Well, the mayor
and children.
And the police chief have been firm on saying that this is about the availability of guns on the street. They want to get guns off the street. But Deborah, you were here during the 80s.
Hello.
I was here during the 80s. It wasn't so much the availability of guns. It was open air drug markets. It was the crack cocaine mm-hmm. epidemic. It was we didn't call them crews back then. We called them gangs. We called them gangs and the violence. Now, am I wrong? It just seems to be kind of a hodgepodge of why these people are killing each other.
Absolutely. You look at the fire that had two deaths, mm-hmm. a man and a woman. No guns, no knives. They were beaten to death, and then the perpetrators set the house on fire.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't a gun incident.
There, and we still don't know what that's about. And we're heading into the weekend with that case. Here's the thing: there are two things that are missing in curbing crime in the district. One is the politics, and by that I mean council members. There are 13 members of the D.C. Council. Each of them should have the questions to grill the police chief. Screw what numbers you give the feds. That's the numbers you give the feds. And you give the feds a certain number so you can get money from the feds to do certain things. However, one very popular former mayor of this city told me there are always three books when it comes to public safety, including fire department and education. There's the one we show the public. There's the one we give to the lawmakers in City Hall. And then there's the one we keep under the desk.
Mm-hmm.
Lawmakers need to find out, and I raised some of those questions in my column in Tuesday's paper. You need to ask them about the numbers, not what numbers you gave, the feds,
mm-hmm.
because you get different money from different federal mm-hmm. agencies, DEA, FBI, and all that sort of stuff, depending on what you want to do. Because you want to know what the raw numbers are. Don't give me no damn 43% fewer homicides this year.
Well, actually,
raw numbers.
Right. Well, and they were actually 40% more last year than the year before.
The year before. Not only that, the other thing component that's missing is the moral compass. There's nobody. If you guys have heard from them, if you sat in a pew and you've heard them talking about all this killing that's going on, because I don't hear it. I don't see them taking a soapbox out on H Street.
No, it's not.
I don't see them taking a soapbox in Georgetown. I don't see it in any county. I don't even see it in Baltimore.
I will pick that back up
okay.
on the other side. Lewis calling from D.C., Joy from D.C., and Monique calling from Virginia. We're going to talk to you. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. The original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR is next, but this conversation continues at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're at the Reporters Roundtable. We'll be back in a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable with Yannick Lamb, Chair of Media Journalism and Film at Howard University, and Deborah Simmons of the Washington Times. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. My question about the D.C. homicide rate was, why was it happening? No matter what the numbers happen to be. And that's the thing that I'm still struggling with. Because again, the mayor and the police chief said this is about the availability of guns. But I would argue that if that is the case, mm-hmm. why are people killing each other now? We've seen beefs over girls.
Nobody's telling them not to.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I get that.
Remember,
but we've seen beefs over girls.
Brother upon brother, men who were formerly incarcerated, they stood up and they said, don't smoke the brothers, period.
Mm-hmm.
And they coalesced around people who were considered at risk. You know, that's another, well-worn word, at risk of that happening. One thing that I think is really problematic is that we have literally turned our children over to public school and the government. We don't have to be responsible for nothing.
Well, you know, and it falls on parents, extended family, and neighbors as well, too. Everybody's kind of in their own cocoon, and they're not, you know, pulling people's coat and saying something to young people to kind of direct them.
Especially when it comes to that old saying of don't be a punk, don't let anybody disrespect you, and let us just say, even if we are not even talking about D.C., but just talking about this craziness in Houston, with the death of this 7-year-old girl, where police are saying that it may have been an issue of mistaken identity because of an argument or dispute earlier in the day. Mm-hmm. And maybe it sounds elementary, maybe I'm too old, but that's how you settle your arguments from earlier in the day, where you go and you shoot up a car that you think may have somebody in there that you had some kind of disagreement with, whether it's...
Or they look like JoJo.
Yeah.
People are so desensitized to violence. And back in the day, if I was going after you, I was going to punch you.
Yeah.
I was going to get you. I wasn't going to miss.
Right.
I was going to get you directly.
Yeah.
So now people are just so wild with it, and they don't take the time to think about innocent children, innocent other people who are being, or even their own lives.
They don't think.
They don't
they're
have
not
a value.
Thinking. They're reacting. It's
exactly.
Like, yeah, they're reacting. They're not thinking. They're not feeling. If you want to take somebody's life, you're pissed about somebody and you want to take their life?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
We're not investing in each other the way we used to, though. We're really not
humans
doing
aren't investing in
yeah,
humans.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Processes
people
and programs.
People aren't getting the attention that they got in the past.
Let me go to the phone lines. Joy calling from D.C. Thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Sure. I was listening, and I was just really saddened by the woman. Pardon me, I didn't hear the beginning of the broadcast, so I'm not sure who's on the panel. But she just sounds exceedingly xenophobic, and when I listen to Trump's rhetoric about immigrants and people coming into the country and, you know, the way he's trying to stoke fears around stealing jobs and them all being criminals, it's so reminiscent of the way poor Southern whites were made to feel about blacks during Reconstruction. And so it really saddens me when I hear other people of color really adopting that whole rhetoric and falling for what he's saying, hook, line, and sinker. Do we need border security? Yes. But it really has nothing to do with any of the things that he's talking about. Immigrants are not stealing our jobs. I work in workforce development, so I understand where the issues lie within our communities about individuals not living up to their potential as far as employment goes. But putting that on immigrants, I think it's completely preposterous. So, you know, I feel for the woman who keeps talking about how immigrants are dangerous, and I just really pray for her in a softened heart in terms of how she looks at other human beings.
Are you the xenophobic one, Deborah?
I'm not a xenophobic at all, believe me.
I'm a child of immigrants.
So am I. Some came here willingly, some didn't. Here's the thing. Why cannot I find, and my friends and family, find black businesses that are willing to do the work for good money that people from another country who can barely, if at all, speak English, I have found are willing to do for practically nothing?
But isn't that on the black businesses? That's on black folks.
No, wait a minute.
I completely disagree.
I have worked with five different landscapers.
Okay.
Putting in siding, doing the drains and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And a minute later, the stuff was falling apart.
So, but
wait a minute.
Okay,
wait a minute.
So
I did the Home Depot thing. I went up there and asked the guy. He said, what do you want? And I said, I took him to my house. I need you to do this, 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 and this. He said, this and this I can finish today if you have so-and-so. I said, yes, I do. He did it. That was 2 years ago, and it's still holding up.
Okay.
The other guy's stuff fell apart.
Okay, but like I said,
he wanted to charge me again for doing it.
But that's on black folks.
What do you mean it's on black
folks? That's a case by case
thing. That's a case by case. And if the black company can't get it done, then it is the black company's responsibility to do that quality work.
But I had to pay for the entire job again.
Okay, but
do you understand what I'm saying?
There's a lot of black companies out there, though.
I'm not indicting all black companies, and I'm not trying to indict all immigrants.
But what Joy is saying
but
is that
But don't indict me for anything.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Particularly anything that I didn't say, because I never used the word criminals.
Okay, no, but that same argument, if you go to a hospital anywhere in this country, would you say that doctors from India, Asian doctors, West African doctors are taking jobs from black doctors?
I merely said people crossing the border.
But they're still immigrants. They're still immigrants.
They're not an immigrant because they're here illegally. They don't even deserve... Were we called immigrants when our ancestors were slaves?
No, ask me.
We didn't come here illegally.
I'm not talking about
There's
that.
There's no difference.
But see, there are a lot of people
who do come here illegal. Technically, they do come illegally, technically, for a lot of different ways around the country, of all backgrounds from different countries, too. Maybe a lot more from Mexico.
When you break the law, do they say, technically, you broke the law, but...
I'm just saying the immigrants.
I mean, the way they're treated in this country, this is not fair to a lot of different people.
Yeah, and I would argue that
I'm not anti-immigrant and I'm not anti-immigration.
No, I'm not saying that either.
I want you to come through the door the right way.
Yeah,
and if you don't want to come through the door the right way. Then go somewhere else.
But
you have an option. You had an option to come here. You can have the option to go somewhere else.
So if you have a company that
and I should have brought the numbers about employment.
I get it. But hold on. But if you have a company that is minority owned by Hispanics and they are here legally and they do the same job better than the black company that you tried to hire before, is the argument the same?
I just want them to fix it. I want you to fix what I'm paying you for.
Right, but we're talking. But like I said, you said they're here illegally. You don't always know. Yeah, you don't always know that. And the thing that I'm suggesting
that they're here illegally.
I said these are not my words.
These are the government's words.
These were the words
of the Clinton administration and the Obama administration.
I'm giving you the example
that they're undocumented.
Right, but I'm saying to you is that your concern when you're trying to get stuff done at your house?
Absolutely.
So
I can't even communicate with you. If you can't communicate
with me. But they got it done, right?
If you can't communicate with me,
right.
I can't communicate with you.
But the guy who actually did the work
could not communicate with me.
But he did the work.
The other two guys who came with him could communicate with me. You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
And I understand that this is
we should have been at the White House today. Joy, thank you.
No, because I told Trump to sit down.
Now behave yourself. let's talk to Monique. Monique calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dawn, this afternoon.
Good. How are you?
I was calling just to say to me, society has failed. It's no dignity, no respect. Basically, they're worrying about a border wall where it's people homeless, have nowhere to go, kids without food. I was born and raised in Washington, D.C., moved when I was 13, and haven't been back ever since.
Okay.
My mom wanted better for us. Basically, you know, it's sad. The United States has been sold out right under us. You know, they worry about stuff that's not important instead of worrying about, you know, terrorists and who's living next door to you. Me, as a black African-American woman, I've been raised to love, respect, and put God first. But it's just not the same, you know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Monique. I appreciate it. Let's talk to Lewis calling from D.C. Lewis, what's on your mind?
Hi, go right ahead. This is Lewis. I have a few comments. The first comment is that first of all, let's deal with facts. The fact is that most terrorists are not coming across the southern border. They're coming through the airports. That's number one. Number two, while you're worried about those Hispanics, that are asking you for work at the Home Depot, you need to worry about our sisters and brothers that are standing on the corner, half high and drunk, ready to hit you in your head. So let's not get all highfalutin and think and stop thinking about, oh, I'm so scared of these Hispanics, when you know your own people are taking you out. Let's be real here. Yeah. Number three, how dare you say, you know, these people don't belong here. You are an immigrant yourself. You came here because somebody brought you here. Only people who are originally from this country are the American Indians, if you know your history.
Yeah.
So you, the kind of thinking that you're putting out right now is what spurs all of the racism and the divide that we have in this country right now. And I don't care about Democrats saying this or Obama saying that or Trump saying that. What you're spurring out of your mouth right now is racism, and it's horrible.
You want to respond to that real quick before
I'm not a racist either. My gosh. But it seems like Lewis, that his name?
Lewis from D.C.
Lewis says, don't blame Spanish-speaking folks, blame the black folks.
That's not what he said. He said, don't worry about the Hispanic folks. He said, we need to worry about some of the black folks in our own community that are standing on the corner and that are high. And so that's what he said.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, don't worry about the Spanish-speaking people. Worry about the brothers and sisters on the corner getting high and whatever. So isn't that racist? Because there are white people on the corner, too. Lots of them.
It depends on where you live.
Everybody's on the corner. You go down to 2nd and D. You go to some places in Brookland. You go to 14th and U. You go to Columbia Heights. It ain't just brothers and sisters hanging out on the corner getting high and trying to get over. That's the way this city is, and that's the way it's always been. The problem was, for a long time, is that only the black folks got blamed for the problem.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely agree with that. Lewis, thank you so much for sharing. I want to go to this next issue. This R. Kelly thing, it continues to grow and grow and develop. Do you believe, Yannick, that we will see that we will see some legal action? Will R. Kelly be brought into court to face charges at some point? What are your thoughts about that?
I think he will end up back in court. I don't know how he got off completely so much the first time around, but I mean there were a lot of different reasons and some.
You're talking about the tape forward. And
yeah, with the tapes yeah. with the pornography charges. It was clearly him in the tape. I don't believe that it was.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, I saw it a long time ago.
Oh, wow. I didn't see it.
No, you don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You don't want to see it. No, I think that since people are talking publicly, that they might as well take the next step and do something legal.
Yeah.
But I think that, I think there's more of an outrage now. It's been going on for so long, and people have been debating it and arguing about it for so long. There's some people who kind of, you know, kicked him to the curb, but there's some people who've supported him all this time as well.
Is this docuseries coming at the perfect time with Time's Up, Me Too, and all of that? If we had seen this docuseries, say, 5 years ago, before the Me Too movement, before Time's Up, do you think it would have had the same impact?
I think maybe 10 years ago. You know why? Because those little girls he was messing with, by the time he got to trial, they were of age. The problem was, if we pay attention to the law, you can't, you're a juror. You ever been on jury duty?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You're a juror, and the opening arguments paint one picture, and the opening arguments of a defense. It isn't until the end of the trial that the judge tells you, that's not evidence what they just said.
Right.
You see what I mean? The evidence against R. Kelly has been building for over 2 decades. What needs to happen now is a federal RICO probe, because we're dealing with not only the state of Illinois and the state of Georgia and the state of Florida, and California might be involved as well.
And Texas.
And Texas, exactly.
And who knows what other states.
So that's RICO. The other thing is that it does, you have to look and believe those women for what they say right now. Once they go get deposed and give that evidence, they may be saying something totally different. And once R. Kelly is deposed. Because if we can put Bill Cosby under the prison
for one crime,
there's absolutely no way in heck R. Kelly will be able to get out, if only even half the truth, including the testimony of his wife, which would not have been allowed
right
during an earlier trial. She ain't his wife no more.
Mm-hmm. But and the other thing too that came out in the docuseries was that the parents of the girl was allegedly in the video said,
right.
They said, that's not her.
Right.
The parents said, that's not her. The girl said, that's not her. And so essentially, what you have is some phantom girl that no one admits to being there. And if you're saying, that's not her, and Kelly says, that's not me, and the jury believes or doesn't have much to go on, I think that was the thing.
Well, we also have different technology now. And there was a girl in there, so I don't know why there weren't some pornography charges. But, you know, they could prove that that's him. They could, you know, maybe prove that's her. But that was unfortunate. Her aunt said it's her. An uncle said it's not her. The family didn't want to come forward.
Right.
But I think there are a lot of people now who are willing to come forward. And plus, they're on tapes. You know, even like the girl who was going to the courthouse.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And the enablers. He didn't do
lots
this
of
alone.
Enablers, lots of enablers.
We were discussing this yesterday with Lisa Crooms, who was a professor of law here at Howard University's School of Law. And she said that not so much a conspiracy, but... She talked about those who may indeed be enablers or accessories or something to that effect. I'm not a lawyer, so please forgive me.
Right.
But the bottom line is, if indeed these things did happen, as the women in the docuseries say that it did, this didn't happen in a vacuum.
Exactly.
No, exactly. A lot of people participated. A lot of people watched. A lot of people made it happen, and were, you know, they helped them with it.
Yeah. Whether they were threatened, encouraged, paid, not paid, whatever.
I think the best story of the week is on a positive note, the Centoya Brown story coming out of Tennessee. This girl who said that she was trafficked and killed the man who bought her for sex, and she said it was self-defense. She had been sentenced to dozens of years, a life sentence in Tennessee, and the outgoing governor is allowing her to leave in 7 months. She was 16 when this happened.
16
years old, now 30 years old. I cannot imagine what life will be like for her, because she essentially, other than on the street, she was essentially, you know, coming in as a broken person.
Yeah. And I don't want the media to get distracted. I heard a couple of different times today where Kim Kardashian, who has been...
And LeBron James and others.
Particularly Kim. They're calling her the patron saint of black prisoners. You see where I'm going? That's
crazy.
Not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
The issue, dear people, is the fact that a teenage girl who had been trafficked, killed the, what do they, I don't even know, I'll age myself, the John.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. and she was sentenced to life. And the governor pardoned her, so she's going to be able to get out in August, I think it was. In August. The issue is, praise Kim for doing whatever she does for her brand, okay? The thing is that there are more people listening to the criminal justice reform and prison sentencing issues than we thought. And yes, it came from a red state governor. You see what I mean? So don't block everybody out. appreciate what Kim did. More importantly, this girl now has to be a grown up on the streets of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Is she ready? And I doubt it. You see what I mean?
Well, let's.
That's one of the things, too, is like even with the R. Kelly case, with that case, with things that are going on in people's families that we never hear about, a lot of people are at harm. They're not ready. They're not getting the help they need. And, you know, they need more protection.
Yeah, and I agree with what Deborah is saying in that she, the Centoya Brown and the other Centoya Browns and and Sam Browns that are coming, that will be coming out
home.
As a result of sentencing reform and the changes that are being made,
or even the Innocent Project. I mean, and
same
yes,
thing.
Yes,
you can't. They can't let you go with $50. Mm-hmm. And a bus ticket.
But that's what happens.
Because the world is so different now, too.
It truly is.
Even just being incarcerated, but the world is so different.
And she's going to need support. All of these people are going to need a great deal of support.
Yeah.
When they come out. And Centoya Brown, we've seen on social media, I mean, she now has 50 to 100 aunties who everybody's willing to open up their homes and give her a job and make sure that she finishes her degree and everything else. But what about the other folks?
Right. And I'm not a huge fan of Stephen King, but I do recommend you read Shawshank Redemption.
I love Stephen King. So,
okay.
Yeah, I do.
I ain't mad at him. I just think he's scared of himself. That's all.
He's scared a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right,
so. But a lot of people glad he's a writer.
You can easily watch the movie if you are, or revisit the movie if you choose. But read the book, because holding that book in your hand and reading about one or the stories about one or two or particular inmates, men who have been in prison for the majority of their lives,
institutionalized.
Yes. And when they got out, they had to ask permission to go pee. I mean, really. That's what we need to have in our minds as these thousands upon thousands upon thousands of prisoners are coming home every day. And they weren't trained, because prisons and jails are built to punish people. They're not built to reform people.
And to control.
Or teach them how to be barbers, or teach them how to landscape. That's not why they're there. They're there to punish.
They're there to fill them up.
Yeah, exactly. Whether they're privately owned or publicly owned, that's the way it is.
Final story here in these last 5 minutes. Billionaire Democratic donor Ed Buck in California is in trouble again. A second black man found dead in his apartment in the past 18 months. There was reporting yesterday that said that this man had been a friend of Ed Buck's for some 25 years, and that he was sick when he arrived. Even giving him the benefit of the doubt, it's still really, really strange. It's creepy. It's scary.
It needs to be looked into.
What do you think is going on here?
I'm not sure what's going on, but that's not a coincidence when you have two people end up dead in your house like that.
And at least the first one was an escort, and I believe he's gay.
And
unmarried.
Right.
You know, and so what should we think about this? Let's talk about the political. This guy has given to many campaigns, many Democratic campaigns, and I'm just wondering: are we going to begin to see those political kingmakers begin to distance themselves from him because of the strangeness of this?
You know what? Can I answer that question second? Because
sure.
This is an EU story.
A what?
Ew.
Yes.
You know how little kids say ew.
Ew, yes.
Okay. You're a straight guy. A man dies in your house 18 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
18 months later, another man dies in your house.
I wouldn't say that my luck is bad.
What are your local police going to say?
One step away from serial killer? Yeah.
Exactly. That's the way this needs to be looked at. Now, if we know California Democrats the way we know California Democrats, one of Bill and Hillary Clinton's famous places in the whole wide world, the money is not going to dry up.
Yeah.
I got three emails from Nancy Pelosi today asking for contributions. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? Because they're geared up now for 2020.
Right.
So the money and the prestige and the connect, and out there, they're charging $500,000 just to sit in the room.
Yeah.
with folks. Here's what, and I wish Kamala Harris would sometimes talk about this. Because she was supposedly a tough prosecutor when she was in California. If she were to talk about what we need to do to get things straightened out. Now, I don't want her to go to Mr. Buck, whose first name I refuse to remember, because the man changed his name. He's changed his name, his persona, and he ain't who we think he is, in other words. But you need to, not only do the local police authorities need to investigate that, but the state authorities need to investigate, because people like that move around a lot. Mm-hmm. They'll rent a hotel down in so-and-so.
They have the resources.
And their entourage and enablers won't tell anybody and all that. You need to really, really probe that. And then, by the way, whoever ends up becoming the head of the DNC between now and 2020, you need to blacklist him. and we know what that means, because something, like you said, I don't believe in coincidences. I'm a faith loving gal, so I know there ain't no coincidences.
Let me grab one last comment, because I've got a minute left. Corey, you've got 30 seconds. You want to talk about the president? Go right ahead. Corey, are you there? Real quick.
Yeah. How you doing? Oh, I just wanted to say real quick, like they're talking about border control, like security and drugs and whatnot, but the truth is, most of the drugs that come into this country come through legal ports, not through Mexico. And as far as security, terrorists and so forth, they are coming through with passports, through planes and passports. They're getting here through the wombs of white women. They need to control these white women.
Okay.
I said
see,
that the number one threat to this country come through the wombs of white women.
I don't even know where that was going, but I think that we need to drop that one. Thanks, Corey. Wow. That was, oof. Whew. Deborah Simmons. Yannick Lamb.
Thank you, Harold.
Thank you so much for joining
for
me.
And
always a pleasure. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, January 9th, 2019. I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.